On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal, which Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, of course, and a number of other great publications, and also home to Mark Wells, the son of the founder, has been there 50 years, celebrating 50 years. It's just a great company, and I'm so proud to be working with Wells Media over these many years for On Point. And it kind of dovetails into this conversation around brand, personal brand, with my guest, Fiona Berry Gray. Welcome to you, Fiona.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Clearly, I lost the time of day here, but it's morning, but it doesn't matter. It's a lovely, cool morning here in Fairfax, Virginia. And Fiona, you can read about Fiona's background. She's a global branding executive, has worked on different parts of the world on different major projects. Many of them have a visual element, a very stunning visual element. You can read about Fiona at aartrijk.com, our website, as well as chromium.group. Fiona is a consultant living in the D.C. area where I am, and I wanted to catch up with you, Fiona, because there's a theme that comes up consistently around the insurance industry when people have they question whether they should have a personal brand. At the same time, they're supposed to be promoting or supposed to be supporting the corporate brand, whether it's a large company, insurance company, or maybe all the way down to a classic retail insurance agency with 10 or 12 people. And what happens is a lot of times you have these sales positions in the insurance industry, people with fairly large egos. They're very talented, very articulate. They can close deals. They're running around all the time. But it's also that type A, all about me kind of mentality that you hear. And I think what happens, Fiona, is some people get a little bent out of shape about this phenomenon, because they're like, well, wait a minute. We want you to support the company. Why are you out there so much with your own face? We're not seeing you show enough love to the mothership, you know? So, I mean, it's just very curious, and I wanted to chat with you because I know you've spent a lot of time thinking and talking about personal brand. So what do you make of this? What do you think's going on?
Well, it's an interesting question, because invariably we need those people to have personality, to be out there networking, finding business and such like. And they're going to have strong personalities anyway. Now, the problem arises when their personality is bigger than the brand they're representing. Now, there's a couple of ways you can deal with that. Obviously, you can kind of rein in the personality, but it may take away some of the aspect that makes them good at what they do. Possibly the thing to look at is to look at the brand itself and see where there are weaknesses or what's missing as to why the individual's personality is becoming louder and more prominent. So it could be a case that actually the brand, the kind of the mothership, the company, needs to address its own brand and relook at that if this is happening, because where people start to become louder in the market is because there is something missing from the brand that they're representing. So they're sort of filling that space. So it's a little bit of both, but it would definitely be a time to just review the brand, the company, to see whether maybe it's time for a refresh.
So Fiona, you raised a couple of interesting issues there, and I think what happens very often, particularly in organizations where there's a founder or somebody in a family who inherited a firm, but it's about that person or a small collection of people. Let's say, for example, Smith and Jones, Ms. Smith and Mr. Jones. They're the owners. They're the big producers. People call there, or people run into them, and they just want to talk to those two people. Anybody else really isn't that that relevant. And so it becomes more about a name as opposed to a brand. A brand, as I think of it, as a successful brand, is a relationship with a collection of people at the firm. It's not just about that one person. The firm actually becomes more valuable if there's a collection of people and a deeper bench, if you will, because anything can happen to one person. But then also related to that, you'll have a particular salesperson, a producer who really does well and starts to build up a book and acquires a name to himself or herself. So that's where you get this jealousy, I think it is, envy with the owners, with that one freelance. Despite their success, they're like, wait a minute, you're not supporting the mothership as well as you could. And so I think I don't know what people say that. I say, well, why can't you have both? And I think I know the answer why there's jealousy. I think it is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fiona, and then I'll be quiet. Is it because it's they haven't done the work to really put some teeth and messaging behind the more than just being a name? They haven't done the brand work, especially around core values. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. There's a couple of things. If you have a company or you have a team, whether it, you know, the size doesn't matter really, but if you want to be really great, you employ people that are better than you, in actual fact, because the better the people that are working for you, the better you will be and the better the customer experience will be. But that takes a little bit. You have to step back and kind of calm your personal ego down a little bit and say, actually, I've got people who work for me that are better. That way, you can all thrive. If it's a case of you wanting to be the best, that you are in a way, you may be great, but you're limiting where the company can go because you're the glass ceiling over the company. Now, I can see how mom and pop companies may evolve. You might have one person or two people at the start, but what's their ambition? Where do they want to go? Do they want to be running that company for the foreseeable future, working as many hours as they feel they need to in the day, which may be 8, maybe 16, but it's limited by their capabilities. Now, if they empower the people below them, the people they bring in, to be as good as they can be, that company will grow and get better. Now, to do that, if you have a company and you want it to be great and you have some people you really value, the most powerful thing you can do is to empower them and to make them key stakeholders in the company and to help them create or refresh your mission, vision, and values together. So as you move forward, you are putting your trust in them, you are using them for what you've brought them in and allowing them to fly. And in a unified way, you will do great things because you're just so much stronger together. It's a complete offer rather than disparate offers that are kind of kept at a level because of somebody that started the company.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I feel like culture, which a lot of this is really what we're talking about. It's the internal brand of the culture that is lived on the inside and shared on the outside. And what people see on the outside is typically, it should be what is going on the inside. So an analogy might be nice. If you open up a nice container of fresh Greek yogurt, you know, it's a culture that's been curated and it's very clean. It's very predictable. It's very satisfying. All those good things, all those good qualities. If you leave a piece of bread out on the counter, it's going to acquire some culture of its own, right? It's going to be green or brown, or it's going to be haphazard and not very attractive, not something you'd want to consume. So I think what happens is devoid of a culture that's been thought about, like curated and put into words, including the 5 or 6 or 7 core values that guide employee behavior, I think what happens is you have these pieces of bread that just acquire a culture of their own and go out and do things that may or may not be reflective of what the brand should stand for. And that's probably a horribly ugly photo I just put in your brain, but I mean, that's what happens. It becomes haphazard.
Well, to that point, and I'm just going to continue with the yogurt for a moment, you know, you have beautiful packaging, it all looks great on the outside, and you know it has the potential to taste delicious. And then when you peel back the top and it's been in the fridge for too long and it hasn't been eaten and there's mold in there, it's a really disappointing experience. And you kind of put the lid on and you throw it away. Now, that's about delivering the promise. You know, if you think you're going to get an experience with a company, and then because the company isn't aligned internally, the experience is not good, you will leave it and go away. And it is far harder for a company to get new clients than to look after their existing clients. So this is a constant process of delivering the promise and keeping it fresh and relevant. And in the same way as you need to sort of eat the yogurt and not let it just kind of rot in the fridge, you've got to kind of just keep sense checking what you're doing and making sure that you are not taking your customers for granted. You're not taking your employees for granted if you have a number of employees, that you're continually moving forward and continually being relevant to the needs inside and out. Because if we don't move forward in this day and age, we are literally moving back. We're not even standing still. So that there isn't an option, because you are going back if you are not going forward.
Right. So if it's been a while since a firm really had a discussion around its core values, I think this time we're in right now, this difficult time, is really a good time to put your arms around your people, even the prima donna producers who are running around out there, and really have this conversation about who we are and where we're going, and what are the words, what are those core values that are going to guide our behavior, even if there are certain things, Fiona, that we haven't acquired yet as a brand, things that we aspire to be, like innovative, say, or have an environment where we can challenge the status quo. But to have those tough conversations, I think it's so worthwhile if you haven't done it in a while, because it has a way of bonding people together to say, you know what, I do like working here. I mean, things aren't perfect, but I like the fact that we're talking about how we treat each other, how we treat customers, what it's like to come in here, and when we're hiring somebody new, what they see and how they feel, what the employment brand is like, and using those core values in every job, no matter what it is, because every job's important. I mean, producers don't get paid if the business isn't processed properly. So everybody's job's important. So I think this is a really good time to have those conversations, don't you think?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. If you think about this period of time, and aside from the difficulties, which we have to acknowledge, there is opportunity here. For one thing, people aren't commuting, so they've got more time. The fact we're doing Zoom calls rather than meetings, we can actually achieve more. Now, if you just allocated a little bit of that time to relooking or refreshing or just kind of reviewing even your brand strategy, it would be time extremely well spent, because strong companies use situations like this to get better. The ones that are kind of scared and don't do anything, they're the ones that are going to come out the other side no better off, and potentially behind where they started. So I would say this is a very good time just to look at the brand as a whole, but also consider how the people that are working for you and with you are feeling, and maybe helping them get through this by bringing them into the fold as such, and maybe a kind of a little review, a brand refresh, could be just what's needed, not only for the organization, but also for the employees, to help them feel more engaged, more part of it, and stronger as we come out of this period for the next phase. So I think this is a very good time to consider what you stand for and what you know, which means what we will do and what you won't do, and just who you are as an organization, and the values are absolutely core to that.
I spoke with Daniel Burris, the futurist, a few podcasts ago, He's a terrific guest. But he says a lot of really cool things. I've known him, heard him talk for like, I don't know, 25 years or something. And he did say one thing when this whole nightmare started in March with the virus. He said, "Now is the time we need to be significant to others and stop worrying mm-hmm. about our success." And by others, mm-hmm. he's talking about employees, customers, and family members, and yes, prospects if you get to that, but really trying to be significant to other people. Because significance is about them, and success is about you. And his thing is, like, stop worrying about success right now. This is not the right time to be worried about that. Right now, if you focus on significance, success will come larger to you mm-hmm. later. It will be bigger, more successful later. I think this is really not so much a question, but one way to be significant to employees is to, especially at this time, when people are kind of hunkered down, we're not going anywhere for a while. This could be another 18 months. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no post-COVID discussion right now because we're in COVID. It's going to be in COVID for a while. So how can we be significant to our employees? I think going over some of the elements of a brand strategy, which includes core values, would be an excellent thing to do right now to show your people that the organization cares about them. What would you say to that, and how could we make that work?
Well, I think listening is absolutely crucial. Often we are in conversations where we think we're listening, but we're really not hearing what people are saying. And I think this is an opportunity to listen to your employees and give them the opportunity to share their thoughts. I'm mindful of an associate here who took her team for a walk actually near here by a great falls on the Virginia side, and they socially distanced this team. That was a small team, but she said it was probably the most powerful thing she'd done with them in the entire time, because she found out all sorts of things, not through probing, but just through listening to what they were saying, rather than it just being sort of processing work. So I'm not suggesting everybody goes for walks by Great Falls, as lovely as that is, but just giving people an opportunity to speak and to listen to what they're saying. And with a brand strategy, you've got a perfect opportunity for subject matter, you know, discussing your joint mission, your joint vision, your values, your persona, how that's going to come over. And you can look at what makes individuals in the companies great. And maybe that's something that is wider than maybe first apparent. And so aspects of the persona may be brought into the company from the individual and sort of taken on board by others, but also the narrative of the company. You know, why do you exist? What are you there for? Why do you get out of bed? There's all sorts of interesting things. I say, why do you get out of bed? We all know why we get out of bed. We have to go to work. But like, why in the biggest sense of why we do what we do? Why is it important to us? There's all sorts of interesting conversations you could have that bring the company together, give people the opportunity to speak, to be heard, and to make something better of what exists already. And it might be good already, but it can still be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we've been throwing around some terms. Maybe we should go through them real quick for the benefit of our listeners, Fiona. We say brand strategy. You mentioned, let's take, I think there's nine components. Let's go through them so we don't, because people sometimes they think of a vision as doubling revenue in 5 years or something, when in fact it's not about mm-hmm. you, it's about mm-hmm. the customer, it's about the better world. So why don't we start with mission? What is mission?
Well, so your mission is what you do. It's very, very simple. It doesn't need to be long-winded. It doesn't need to be flowery. It just needs to be accurate to reflect what you actually do as an organization. Often you'll hear like mission statements and mission and vision. It's best to keep things succinct. So mission is just purely about what you're doing, said, articulated in a really simple, succinct truthful way. The vision is when you start to paint that picture. And a vision can be something that maybe isn't even obtainable. It's just something you're working towards. It's where you want to get, and it should be inspiring. And there's a little bit more room for a little bit more creativity, I suppose, in the writing. But again, it doesn't need to be long. It just needs to paint a picture that people can get behind, that they feel passionate and aligned with to be part of. And so that's built up on the values. We've talked about values and persona, or the personality. The values are how we behave. And you can start to tell whether people's values are aligned quite quickly in an organization, just by the way people behave. If you have a sense that somebody is maybe not being as truthful as they might be, or maybe just not as committed as they might be, or collaborative, they may be kind of keeping things to themselves. You kind of start to see what you don't want in an organization. So you want people who are honest, you want people who are committed, you want them to be collaborative, to work together as a team. So defining the values is really important to know how you as an organization want to behave. And then that in turn is how it is expressed through the personality. We all know people that we like or we don't like for particular reasons. Well, if you think of a brand in the sense of a human being, what do we want to be remembered for when we meet this brand? So are you astute? Are you versatile? Are you perceptive? Or are you something else? But it's a case of articulating that and agreeing it and then living it. And it shouldn't be so difficult for some people. And invariably, if some people find it so uncomfortable, the chances are their values and their personality don't align with that brand, and they'll probably go and do something else anyway because they're at odds with it. So we've talked about vision and values. We also mentioned the idea of having a narrative. It's always nice to have a story that you can understand. All too often things can be a little bit too succinct, but a narrative paints a picture of why, how you've come to be, what made you start the organization, what you've been doing, where you want to go in the future. And something we haven't talked about, but it's equally important, is the things that make you different, that you could almost stand up in a court of law and swear that they're truthful and only you can do. And that's, we call that evidence. So it's the sort of the facts that people can believe to know that you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do, and you're going to do what you need to do for them. And that can be a combination of experiences or people or whatever, but it's something that makes you unique because it's completely truthful and others can't necessarily do it. But I think something we didn't mention that's absolutely crucial is defining who your target audience is, because if you don't know who you're talking to, how can you possibly know what to say? And I noticed recently on a non-profit I was talking with, at the end they wanted to be everything to everybody, and when you see that, you know it's going to fail, because you can't be everything to everybody. You need to be clear what you can do for a certain percentage so that you can really deliver, go beyond, above and beyond what's expected, and deliver what they need. And to do that, you need to know who you are talking to and what you can give them that's going to make their life better. So that's very important too, as far as the brand strategy. There's a couple of other aspects as far as positioning, so you know who your customers know who you are and who you're not and why you're better than the competition. And we always boil it down, as you know, into a brand essence, which is this sort of wonderful idea that is almost a mantra for the company, that is something that should be felt inside and out. And if they can't remember anything else, if individuals can't remember anything else about the brand strategy, they can just remember that mantra. That will drive them forward in right. everything they do.
Yeah, and I can think of examples in each of those nine components you mentioned, but I really love how it all distills down in that mantra you mentioned, the essence. And you think of some examples like Harley Davidson, you know, they make stuff, they make motorcycles, they make clothing, et cetera. Their brand essence is look at me, because it speaks to, it doesn't say look at my nice bike, it doesn't say look at my nice leather jacket, it says look at me. It's about the customer, the community they built over time. Virgin is giant slayer, because everything Virgin takes on, they take on some big ones, even like airlines. The Hallmark is caring shared. It's not necessarily a tagline, right? But it's just sort of the everything that that embodies all those components where you're talking about the people aspect of the business and the things that you sell and you talk about your customers and your target audience. When I tell you, Fiona, it sounds very, very complicated and very hard to do and a nice to have, but in my experience, no firm, small or large, can reach its full potential until the owners and the key stakeholders have gone through this process that you described.
Absolutely.
And put this work in to really think about this, because it all comes home to roost, as we mentioned earlier. The freelancing salespeople is a fundamental symptom of a bigger problem, and it gets back to that messaging platform you need.
Absolutely. So, yes.
Well,
yeah, no,
we
totally
could talk
agree.
Forever. We could talk forever on this. I wanted to just kind of pick your brain a little bit, because it's been on my mind a lot lately, with more anecdotes of people asking about personal brand over corporate brand, and I think we decided they're connected. They're two separate things, but they're connect. They should be connected. They should be leveraged together and separately to build up both, because there's, if you have a strong culture, there's nothing wrong with having 100 prima donna producers running around.
Sure.
Everybody's going to win. But when you see these signs of weakness around envy and jealousy, you say, something's not quite right here. This is not a good fit. Maybe we haven't thought through where we're going. So. Anyway, I appreciate you being with us, Fiona.
Well, just one further thought on that. You build a reputation, revenue will follow. And if you need to build the reputation you want, or you get the reputation you deserve. So you need to take that in and move forward and build it, because otherwise the gap will be, the space will be built by something that may not be desirable. So.
Mm-hmm.
Something I always ask is of people I'm working with, are you doing the best work of your life? If not, why not? Mm-hmm. What's holding you back? Because that gives us, purpose and makes us feel good at the end of the day.
Beautiful. Well, Fiona, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate catching up with you.
It's a pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon.
Well, it's lovely talking to you, Peter. Thank you very much.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.